Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Meseches Sota has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel Le'iloi Nishmas, Feivel Yosef ben Chaim Leib and Yehuda Zev ben Feivel Yosef.
Meseches Sota, Daf Yud Zayin. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Daf tells us about the ksiva of the Megillah Sota, the writing of the Megillah Sota, and there's different opinions among the Tanoim as to how much of the parasha in Nosoi is written into the Megillah Sota. The Mishnah brings down that Rabbi Yosi's shita is that you write the entire parasha with the positive parts of the Alois, then nothing happened to you, Hinoki, etc. And you write the negative parts as well, at the Atki Sotis, if you were Mizana, etc., then the curse that's going to come to her. And also, in the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, you also write the Tzivuyim and the entirety of the whole parish, including the commands that the Kohen gives to the lady. The whole thing is written without a hefzik, according to Rabbi Yosi. The other two Shitois, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama, both agree that you'd skip portions of the parasha in the parasha of Nosoi and the Chumash. You don't write the Tzivuyim, you don't write the instructions that the king gives to the lady, and etc. Rather, you only write the curse to Olois themselves. According to the opinion of Yehuda, you only write to Olois the negative parts and nothing more. That if you did, Yitan Hashem Oisach la'olav l'shvua, etc., etc. So you write the, what can happen to her, and that's Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama holds that you write the positive part and also the negative part. If nobody was Mizana with you, then etc. Inoki, the Atki Sotis, but if you were Mizana, then etc. You skip the instructions of Kodetanakana, but you do write both the positive and the negative parts of the Olois. And this Machlokes is explained in the Gemara. The Brisker Rav and the Chedushim over here on Masechta Saita has a Chakira, a basic Shaila, in how to understand this din of the Ksivas HaOlois, the writing of the curses in the Megillah. The Brisker Rav clears, what is the Yesoi, the fundamental idea behind this act of writing, what you're writing into the Megillah? Is it that we're writing the Parshas Soita, as we're writing down this element from the Chumash, has it been to write it down? You're not going to write the whole Parsha, the Chumash Chumash Tayr in the Megillah, you're not going to write the whole Parshas Nosoi, but there's a certain extract, a certain set of psukim that you're writing as Ksivas HaParsha. There's a Parsha in the Torah which has elements, a chelak of that Parsha, has it been to be written up in the Megillah Soita, so you're writing it as a Ksiva of a portion of the Torah psukim in the parasha of Nosai. That's one side of the Brisker Rav. Or, says the Brisker Rav, maybe it has nothing to do with Ksivas HaParasha, but rather it's simply a written record of that which the Kohen has already stated, because he already was Mashbiah her, she already accepted the Shvuah, she already said Amen, Amen, and now it's time for him to write down a written record of that which he already said to her, and that's the Ksiva of the Megillah Soita. Not as Ksivas HaParasha, according to the second side, not that you're writing down certain psukim in the Megillah, but rather that you're simply writing down, recording in the written record that which you already stated to her orally and she accepted. It is a bracketed comment there from Rab David, the Bad L'Chaim, the son of the Brisker Rav, that Rab David commented that if you look at the Shitas in the Mishnah, it says it would appear to be clear that in the Shita of Rab Yosi, there's nothing to clear. So since Rab Yosi holds that you're writing the entirety of those Tukum of the Parasha, including all the instructions, including the commands that the Kohen will now say to the lady, etc., etc., so therefore it's clear that it's not just, according to Rab Yosi, a written record of that which he was mashbiah her, but it goes through the entirety of psukim together with all the instructions, just the whole seder of psukim there in Nosoi, and Rabbi Yosi therefore is going to hold this ksivas haparasha of this chaylik of the parasha. It's a din to write down that parasha into the Megillah Soita. However, the fact is that we don't pass him like Rabbi Yosi, you don't go with him, so therefore the Brisker Rav's question stands, it says Rabbi David, what's the pshat in the Tanakhama, what's the pshat in the other shitais that hold the only write down the curses? Is it that they hold as a completely, entirely, fundamentally different understanding of the concept in the opinion of the Tanakhama than there is in the BAC? And Tanakhama does not hold as any din ksivas haparasha at all in the ksiva of the Megillah, but rather that the fundamental concept of writing the Megillah according to the Tanakhama is a record of the curses of the Olois that he already verbally stated to her. You're now going to record that in writing, and that's why you're leaving out the instructions. Those instructions are left out because there's no din ksivas haparasha, rather it's a din simply to record that which he orally stated to her. Or should we say a more chiddushik atzad, a and more surprising idea, the other side of the Biskin Rav, which is that really, even according to the Tanakhama, just like in the BAC, it's a Din Ksivas HaParasha, you have to write down certain portions of the Parasha. It's just the Gzeres HaKosav is, like the Gemara in some Sukkim, according to the Tanakhama, that you leave out certain portions of the Parasha, those which just simply detail instructions about here, he will do this and that, so that's left out. But what that which is written is going to be a Din of a Ksiva, of a Chelek of the Parasha, of the Chumash, of Parasha Saita, into the scroll of the Megillah Saita. That's the Shail of the Biskin Rav. The Biskin Rav is Poishet his question by pointing out the Lashon HaRambam and HaChasaita in Perek Gimel Halacha Ches. The Rambam talks about the Megillah Saita, and the Rambam says that the Kohen writes down the Kohesev, Kol HaDevorim, all the things Sheishbiya Oisa Bohem, all the statements where he has sworn her to Meshbiya her, Ois Bois, Mila Mila, etc. Write everything down exactly. The Kohesev, Es Hashem Kiksalvoi. And you write down the Shem Hashem Kiksalvoi. In other words, you don't write down the way that it's pronounced with the Aleph Dalet and the Nun Yud, but rather the way it's written with the Yud Ke and the Vov Ke. It's not the Brisk Yudov. Why in the world does the Rambam have to add these words? The Koy Sev Es Hashem Kiksalvoi. What was the Havamina? And what in the world? In Gans Torah, all this filling and the Mezuzah and Chemisha Chemisha Torah, everywhere, wherever you write the Shem Hashem, you always write the Kiksalvoi. That's the way it is. That's the way it goes when you're writing the Kisvei Kodesh. So when you're writing any parasha in the Torah, it's invariably the Shem is Kiksalvoi. Why would any of that thought that even though in the Torah it's written with a Yud Kei Vav Kei, Afal Pi Kein here is going to change it to Aleph Dalet? What was the Havam in the Rambam? It's out there. From here it's Muchrach that the Rambam understood that there's no connection to the concept of Ksivas Kisvei Kodesh over here in the Megillah Saita, but rather it's simply a written record of that which he orally stated. And since the oral statement was the Aleph Dalet, that's the way to pronounce it, so consequently there was a Havam in it. Since all you're doing is writing down for a written record the oral statement of what you said, there was a Havam in it that you write on the Shem Kei Kruyoy, the way that it's pronounced, the way that's Nikra, because that's the whole Yesod of this din, is simply to record that which was Nikra, already orally stated there. That's why the Rambam had to speak out that Afal Pi Kein, that's the din of the Shem Hashem, that no matter what, whenever you write in the Shem Hashem, whenever it's the din to write the Shem Hashem, it's always the din is to write it down with the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and that's the Chiddush of the Rambam, but the Chiddush could only be possibly understood to be a Chiddush if I'm going to learn that it's not a din Ksivas HaParish, but rather it's a din, a written record of that which was stated. And that's the Brisker of Raya. Rabbi David really adds to this. He says that if you look at the entire statement to the Rambam, it's really mashma this way. The Rambam, the whole lashon of Rambam, the Rambam says what? The koi save kol hadavorim sheish biya ois abohem ois ba'ois amila v'mila. So it seems clear what the Rambam is saying. What? What's the asoid of writing down this Megillah? Is it stam that there's certain psukim chumash I have to write over into the Megillah? That's not what it says in the Rambam. What it does say is that you write the dvorim sheish biya ois abohem, the things that he swore her, that he imposed on her. An oath. So that's clear. If in the Lashon HaRambam, the whole Hemshech of the Lashon HaRambam is clear that the Yesod HaDin of writing the Ksivas Megillah is to write in a written record of that which he already has imposed an oath upon her. That's the additional raya that Rabbi David Shlita brings. Now, it's also added over there that Rabbi Beryl, Zechon Levracha, wanted a taina that there might be actually a raya fakert. It could be that the Gemara in the Hemshech HaSugi here on Yud Dezayin on the base of today's daf, there might be a raya in the Gemara exactly the opposite, that the Gemara may be mashma that the writing of these psukim is really a din ksivas haparsha. This din to write over those psukim into this Megillah scroll that you're writing up for the soiter. To write it up as psukim and not out a written record of that which he already imposed an oath on her. Why? Zok Beryl. Because he says, if you look on Amad Beis, the Gemara brings in a suya on Amad Beis, there's a couple of few shilas that the Gemara has there. So one shilah the Gemara discusses is, kosva koidim shetekavel aleha hashvua. What happens if he wrote down the scroll early? He wrote in the Megillah early. He's supposed to write it after he already imposed the oath and she said, Amen. And you wrote it up too early. You wrote it up koidim shetekavel hashvua. So psula, and the Gemara brings a special drosha in the psukim for this thing, that if you write the Megillah early before she's makabel, the shvua is to impose the oath on her, so then the halacha is his puzzle. With a drasha, especially a fusa from the psukim. Frekter, a barrel, l'chayra, if the entire Yesod HaDin, for the whole fundamental principle of writing the Megillah Saita was for the sole purpose of being a written record of that which was stated already. It was stated, it was imposed an oath on her verbally, and I'm going to record it in writing. So what in the world was the Havamina that it would be kosher if you write up the Megillah Saita Kaidim before he imposed the oath on her? It doesn't have any Yesod, it doesn't make any sense. Why didn't you have special drasha? There's a Gansa Sugya in the Gemara with a drasha, especially a Fusa in the Sukkim to tell you it's possible. It's obvious it's possible because it doesn't fulfill the whole Yesod. The whole Yesod is to take a underlying principle behind the Megillah Sota, which according to the Brisker Rav is to be a written record of that which was imposed, already an oath on her. So here it wasn't imposed. It's before the imposition of the oath. So what in the world was the Havamin that wouldn't need a Pasuk to tell you that it's possible? It's Mashma, said the Rebbe, that it's Mashma like the other side, that really the Sota Din is the Ksivas HaParsha, the writing over of certain Psukim for the Parsha, that's Nasa, you write them over in the Megillah scroll. And maybe there was a Havamin, it wouldn't be a paid when you wrote it, and could be kosher in the Havamin, even if you write it early. And Alpha PK is special, you have Fusaf on the Psukim to make a Seder Hadvorim to tell you about the order, the Seder, that you have to write it up later. That's the question on what the Brisker Rav said. Rebbe was tiny that the Gemara is Mashma, it's a Din Ksivas HaParsha. So that Rebbe was Madcha with an interesante Dichoy, he was Madcha the Raya. Rebbe tainted that if you read carefully the Lashon HaGemara, the language of the Gemara over there is Kosva Koidim Shetekabel Oleho HaShvua, which means, said Rebbe, we know that the Kohen imposes the oath on her, Yitin Hashem Oysof La'olav L'shua B'sach Amech, etc. He imposes the oath, he's Mashbia her in the Lashon HaGemara, and she's Mekabel the Shua, she says Amen Amen, V'Amra Ha'isha Amen Amen. That's the Kabbalah that she makes. It's up there, if you medaya carefully, you read very carefully the words of the Gemara there, it seems fakert that the Gemara never ever had any Hava Amina that the Megillah would be kosher if he writes to the Megillah before he imposed the oath, before the Kohen said his part of the Yitin Hashem Oysach La'olav L'shua. If it's before he said that there was Masha, it was not even Hava, then you don't even need a drasha to tell you it's wrong. It's only Zokter Beryl, because the Gemara is talking about a case where he already did Mashbia her. He said his part. He already said Yitin Hashem Oysach La'olav and V'chol V'chol. He said that already. Just she wasn't Mekabel on herself the Shvua. That's Lashon Gemara. Kosva Koidesh at the Kabel La'ashvua. She didn't say Amen Amen yet. He said his part. She just didn't respond yet. That's weird. The Gemara had a Hava Amina that the Megillah would be kosher if you wrote it before then, if not for a Nugzeh Kosher. And that already makes sense, says Rebbe. In fact, in other words, if you're misbinding, it really comes that this is actually a riot to the Brisker Rav. If you will be talking that he wrote the Megillah much too early, even before he stated the oath, Mitzidoy, it wouldn't be kosher, and it wouldn't be a Havam, and I wouldn't need even a Drasha to say it isn't kosher. It's obvious. So that's like the Brisker Rav, that the whole Yisrael, then of the Megillah, is to write down that which he stated the oath. He didn't state it yet. There's no Yisrael had been fulfilled, and it's not a Havam, and to be a kosher Megillah. But since the Gemara is talking about a special case, we already did impose the oath, just she didn't respond yet, according to the Kabbalah Shmua, she didn't say Amen Amen, so there is a half a minute since he said his part, maybe he could write down the record now, before she says Amen Amen, so that the Gemara has to tell you with special drosh, to tell you that that's a din seder, that even that's no good, because you can only write the Megillah after she says Amen Amen. I want to mention over here as well a basic yesoid, an idea that is brought in the Sefer Emek Brocha with regard to understanding the whole concept over here of being Mashbia, the Isha, with the Olois, imposing these Olois, these curses upon the Isha, which is the Emek Brocha discusses this and he learns it out from a curious Taifis in Masechta Moed Kotten on the Yud Dalid on the days. The Gemara over there, Moed Kotten Yud Dalid, raises a question of a Menuda, Malushi Yinhag Niduya Beregel. Niduya is a person who has excommunicated by a Bezdin, he was placed into a Cheirim, a Nidoy by the Bezdin, and the Shiloh there in the Gemara, do you fear, do you keep your Nidoy during the Regal as well? And Taisa says, the Kash over there, Taisa says, it ought to be obvious that you don't, Zok Taisus, because L'chaira, Simchas a Regal is certainly an Asay, and there's no reason to think that Nidoy, which at most is an Asay, should be able to override the Asay of Simchas a Regal, particularly given, says Taisus, that the din of performing a Nidoy is really not an Asay Gomer, it's not a complete Asay. And l'chaira, there's no reason why it should apply during a regal and override, even to go against the assay of Simchas HaRegel. That's Tosis's question. Tosis answers that it's really not a problem, because Be'emes we find that built into the whole din of Nidui, the whole concept that Bezdin would excommunicate somebody who fails to treat the Bezdin with the kavod and the respect that's coming to them, that Bezdin puts them into a Nidui, an excommunication, then whole din, built into the din, is really they could override the lav of Mekalel Chaveroi. Because Be'emes, every Nidui is a form of a klola, it's a form of a curse, and therefore, consequently, Be'emes should be also. You're not allowed. Mekal Chaveiro is also. So, if we do find that a Nidui could be imposed on a person by the Beis Din, so that we see that Nidui itself is able to override the Isurei Torah that it goes up against, it could override, every Nidui overrides Mekal Chaveiro, and Meilu Hu Adin, if it goes up against the Asay of Simchas HaRegel, perhaps it could override that too. So, Toys says, V'shema Misoita Yalfinon. Where do you see Taka in the Torah, in the Chamisha Chamshei Torah, this Musik of of being placing a curse on somebody for the sake of a kovoid, in this case for the sake of the honor of the kovoid of Bezdin. Where do you see it? The Shema may be misoyte alfinam. What does that mean? You learn out of soyte. Soyte alfinam. With the zokta emek bracha, is it really the din of the olo is to the place in the soyte, which evidently Tosef is referring to over here, the curses that you put onto the soyte, although somehow conceptually similar to the nidoy curses that Bezdin places with the menadal kvoidam. In other words, specifically zokta emek bracha, is it before somehow in this Tosef that these olos that are placed on the isha are fundamentally b'shor sham b'yusad on the concept of kovoid habal and the disrespect to the baal that she flagrantly demonstrated? So Vemek Brocha says, as a matter of fact, the aside that appears to be correct, because the aside of what generated this whole din saita upon her was that she violated the kinoi. He told her altistity and pliny not to seclude herself with pliny, and she did. And the din over there is that baal shemachal al kinuya is machal. In other words, that your husband could even be machal as kinoi. It's apparent, Zokti Emek Brocha, this is the way he's learning, that the fact that he could be moichel the kino, he could make the kino, he could be moichel, and afterwards, so that it seems to be, in other words, that what generates it in Saita is not the intrinsic concern that maybe she really was Mizanek, because then it wouldn't be dependent upon the Mechila, etc. But rather, it's actually the covet of the Baal and the Kepeda of the Baal that she flagrantly violated in this manner, she violated his Kepeda, and therefore that's what generates the din Olois that are subsequently given and placed upon her. So these Olois be a Saita Mushrush in the concern for the Kovoid and the Kepeda of the Baal, and she violated that, Zokt Emek Brocha, and that's why that's matter, apparently, placing these Olois, these curses upon her, and Melehu Adin Taisa suggested, we could learn from there, that a Bezin also could place Klolois, which is a needle, a form of a Klolo, an excommunication, upon a person who flagrantly violates the respect, the Kovoid, that's coming to the Bezin. The Emek Brocha, however, asks a big kasha, he says, it doesn't work. The whole Yafus of Saita cannot possibly be. Why? Because Zokt Emek by Saita, the curse is given out tonight. If Atki sought this, if in fact you were Mizan, etc., so then you get this terrible curse that's coming upon you. It's only going to happen, it's going to take effect upon her if Takashi was Mizan. Zokta Emek Brocha, that if she was Mizan, then she's Eino Oisa Maisa Amcha, and the din is that the whole issue to curse someone is only Venosi Ba'amcha Loisoya, the Gemara learns that, but Oisa Maisa Amcha, only when they're a practicing observant Jew, when they observe the commandments of the Mitzvah Teyah, that's when there's an issue to curse them. But this Isha, on the tzad that the curse is taking effect, is only on that tzad that she was mezanev, at kisotis, it says like that. So on that tzad, she's anyhow not also the curse, saivi, in any event, because on that tzad, she's a eina oisam aisa amcho, she's a sinful person who doesn't observe the observance of the Jewish people, which doesn't know is it a curse them anyway. So he says to Bamish Apella, how did Tosis take out of here, out of sight of the musig, that you can curse somebody, of an individual, etc. But over here, there was saivi, no, is it a curse on that tzad that she was mezanev, and the tzad she was mezaneh is anyhow the only tzad that the curse is taking effect. So then it's any oisam aisa amcho. So and for the emek bracha, you could learn out of this tosis is a chiddush, a very interesting thing. From this tosis we see a chiddush that the concept of any oisam aisa amcho does not go by klapei shmaya galia. We don't say that if you curse someone and later on it turns out in shemayim they knew that that person happened to be that he was a sinner individual and it was a any oisam aisa amcho. So then the holy milsa that you didn't do any aver. It doesn't work like that. Any oisam aisa amcho zokter is only if we already know Bibir, we've already established as a given that this individual is a sinful person, he doesn't fulfill the deeds, the observant deeds of the Jewish people. If that's established and misbar, then it becomes mutter, a special new provision, mutter to curse that person. However, calls man that it's not yet known, it's not yet determined, there's no tzad that it's mutter, and we don't declare, doesn't go by what they know in heaven, and on the tzad that the person really is a sinful person in the privacy of his home, it turns out that I cursed him was really okay. It wasn't, because it's only once it's given the task and the autumn and it's verified and fronted to the idea of people that the person is not an observant, only then does it become mutter to curse him. Since this saita, what she did was in private, it has not yet been bar at all that she actually did this sin of znus. So even if she was mezana, still not chal any special head to the curse her at all, because it's not known, and therefore she does not get labeled eino oisa maisa ancha at all. So that is saying, if Alpha Pekin, we still see that we are placing the curses upon her on the tzad she did wrong. If we are placing those curses upon her, then we see a new yesod. There's such a thing as placing clothes upon a person, for the covet of an individual who's violated, in this case, the covet of the Baal, and to Bezin's extrapolated case, to the nidle of the Bezin, where the Bezin's covet is that which was violated. I want to say one word on the Agada de Gemara here, and then we'll move on to the Halacha Sugya on Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "The Dorish Rava v'Schar Sha'amar Avraham Avinu v'Anoichi Offer v'Efer in the Schar and the reward for that which Avraham Avinu said v'Anoichi Offer v'Efer that I am dust and ash." So Zochu Bonov l'Shtei Mitzvos Efer Para v'Offer Soita. Okay, so that because he said this expression of tremendous humility, I'm nothing but dust and ashes, Anoichi Offer v'Efer, that therefore his children were Zochu to two mitzvahs. One is done with dust, which is the offer soita, right? The moichik, the place into the water of the mei soita, and the efer para, which is the ashes of the para duma, which is placed in the mei chatos. That's the Gemara. The Beis Halevi in Chumash explains this. Explains this Gemara with a vort. Interestingly enough, it actually connects with the whole discussion that we had yesterday. And I got at the vort, he says a pshat like this. The Avraham Avinu said two expressions of humility, of anova upon himself. Anoichi ofar va'efer. So the Beis Halevi, ofar is something which has a future, but it has no past. Ofar has a future. You could plant things in it and plant whole crops and get produce. But a past it doesn't have. It's a past. It's complete nothingness. It's just dust in the ground. Efer is the opposite, doctor. Efer has a past, but it has no future. Efer has a past. There used to be something. It was a wood, it was a tree, it was whatever it was. It was a whole thing. But subsequently, when you burn it, now it doesn't have any future at all. Dr. Beis Halevi, that we know that Efer, you can't grow anything in Efer. And also, Efer is a lavbar gibbol. In other words, that you can't knead it into something and make a kind of paste out of it to mold or to form something. These are actually both Gemaras, by the way, that Efer is a lavbar gibbol. And you learn the sugya of Losh in Shabbos. That's one of the sugyas the poskim can discuss, that there's no real Lisha, the Raisa on Efer. There's a whole discussion about this point. It's not a bar givel. And because it can't be properly kneaded into a truly kneaded substance, it doesn't come a smooth knead. And the Efer is not Megadol and Tzmochim, and that's actually a whole sugi that we discussed yesterday, that Efer doesn't grow anything in it. So Efer has no future whatsoever, it just has a past. Avraham Avinu was saying a double expression of humility. I have no past like Ofer, and I have no future like Efer. That's a double invisonus, a double humility that Avraham was saying about himself. That's why the Beis Halevi, that Keneged Zeh, Midi Keneged Midi, he was Zeuche, to have the past, a mitzvah of Offer, which has a past, a unique thing. Offer generally has no past. He was Zeuche, a mitzvah of Offer that has a past, and a mitzvah of Efer that has a future, Chot that Efer generally has no future. Those are the two in Yonim Zok that we find. In other words, Avraham Avinu got the mitzvah of Efer Chatos. In other words, so Efer Chatos is something which has a tremendous, incredible kayach, right? It's able to metire a person who's a Tomei Meis and give him a future as a Torah person. Like this, he became Gefer Luch Tomei, the biggest Tomei, became a Tomei Meis. So the Efer Chatos, this Efer, it's Ash, but it has a whole future in it, and it builds the person up and it gives him a Taira. In the same way, Zokta, he was Zoycha, the mitzvah also of Ofer Saita, which is a Zach, that Ofer Saita passed, even though normally Ofer has no past, the Ofer Saita does have, because the Ofer Saita, you mix it into the water, and you mash it, and it's Mavari, the past, and it gives her that error of having had a past, which was Zakai. The Gemara on Amud Beis says, Kosvo Igeres Pesula, that if you write the Megillah Sosoita in the manner of a letter of an Igeres, then it's possible. Why? Basefer Omer Achmona. Because since the Pasuk says Basefer, in other words, the Kosav, as all the Sa'ila Hakoyim Basefer, the Lashon HaPasuk, it says you write it in a Sefer. This scroll has to have a din Sefer, and not just a kind of haphazard manner of a letter of an Igeres. If you write it as an Igeres, it's possible. What does it mean you wrote it as an Igeres? So Rashi says over here that what it means is Igeres beloy sirta. So Rashi says, in other words, that you did not have the lines etched into it. Normally the halacha is by various entities in the Torah, which are supposed to be written in a neat manner, in the manner of a Sefer, that you first etch the lines into it, which enables you to write neatly, according to those lines, and then subsequently you write following those lines. But this is in a Sirtut. So Rashi says, in this case, the word Igeres, if you wrote the Megillah Saita, the Gemara is saying without a Sirtut, in the manner of just a haphazard letter, and then it's possible because the Torah refers to it as a Sefer. And Rashi elaborates in the next Rashi, Ba Sefer Omer Achmona, Ve Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, Sha'asvorim Tzrichem. sirtot. Now the Rashi connects this with a broad concept that Rashi speaks of over here, that Sforim Shrichen Sirtot. In other words, it's everyone's medayik from this Rashi. The Rashi held a Sifrei Torah, not just Mezuzah, which is a Beferish Gemara in Menachos, and elsewhere, like we'll talk about, the Gemara over there brings Halacha from Sinai in Menachos Lamed Beis, that Mezuzah needs Sirtot. The Rashi held that in general, Sforim, all Sifrei Torah needs Sirtot, and that's the manner of writing a Sefer is with Sirtot. And Meila, since the Torah referred to the Megillah Soita as a Sefer, so therefore the Megillah Soita as well also needs Sirtot. Now, there's a very long Tais over here. I'm going to go through some of the basic Yisoidus of the Tais, and we want to discuss a couple of the main points. Tais over here discusses Rashi's Shita. The Tais says it's Meduyik and Rashi, that all Svarim need to have Sirtut, all Sifrei Torah, etc., Sifrei Tanakh, they need to have a Sirtut. So Tais asks on Rashi that if that's true, then it's Shver from the Gemara in Meshach the Gittin Dan Davav Mepes. The Gemara in Gittin Dan Davav says, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchok's din, that a person writes even three words from the Kisvei Kodesh, even in an informal letter that the Gemara is Mavur over there, if you write even three words in the Kisvei Kodesh, this will be Paskin, the place can say if it's written with Ashuris specifically, Ksav Ashuris, the formal script of Ashuris, if you write even three words in the Kisvei Kodesh in a letter, then the halacha is that you have to do a sirtut. Even the three words alone, that's a Yitzchok's memra, is Machayev a Sirtut. So, in fact, Tosis, so why do you have to have a whole special din over here that a Sefer needs Sirtut, out of the fact that it's a Sefer, even if it wouldn't be a Sefer, just any haphazard writing in a letter or something, of even three words from the Tanakh, Allah is, you have to Mesarate like a Yitzchok's din. So, why do you need this Gemara over here? And Rashi's saying over here, it's a special Allah Meshina in Sforim. Allah Meshina is Sforim, Trichon Sirtut. Allah Meshina from the Messiah from Sinai, that's Sforim after Sirtut. What's Sforim? Any three words of Kisvei Kodesh. Regardless, for him, not for him. You write it with three words. You write in a shuris, and it has to have sirtut, like we see in the Gemara in Gittin. That's Tosis' kasha. What do you need a special din that his forum needs sirtut? So Tosis answers Rashi by saying that out of that Gemara alone, I would know that it's also to write any words from the Kisvei Kodesh, three words, it's also to write without sirtut. But to say, to go a step further and to say, based on that, that even with the Evid after the fact, if you did write it without sirtut, it will be possible that you do not see in the Gemara over there. The Gemara is not discussing any kind to the puzzle. So here we have a new din of Tosis that Rashi is taking out of the Gemara over here, which is that Sforim Shrichen Sirtut for the Kashrus of the Sefer, and that's what's Negeya now Gemara. The Gemara is saying that if you write the Megillah Soita without Sirtut, it's puzzle, it's not kosher. Cause for Igeres Pesula. You write it as an Igeres, the halacha is that it is puzzle. So that special new din, in other words, that it puzzles the Sefer, not just that it's also to write it. That the writing is, the Issa to write is with any Kisvei Kodesh, any three words, that's like it says in the Masech Gittin. He was saying that if a Sefer is written without Sirtut, it's a Apostle Hashem Sefer, and it's not kosher to be used, and that's the same thing that we'll find by Sefer Torah according to Rashi, and the same thing the Gemara is taking out from there according to Rashi, to the case of the Megillas Soita. Tosis then goes on, and he says, and we'll come back to this Blinetta later, that Tosis says a very curious thing, that he fears Ois, and he concludes that Tosis says that he's in doubt about a person who wrote the Megillas Soita without Sirtut, and then he added the Sirtut afterwards. You hear that? In other words, he wrote the words, he lined them up, you know, with it just from by heart, without following any kind of Sirtut, any etching lines into the paper at all. But then subsequently, he asked the lines in afterwards, and that Tosis blabbed by a suffix on that, it sounds very surprising, actually, that Tosfos has said that Sirtut after the fact will be good. The Poskim Lemaisa say that we hold not Soimach on that side of Tosfos. We hold Sirtut has to be before the writing, like maybe we'll get to. Balkopanim, Rabbi Vegas, Maskon, and others. Balkopanim, Tosfos Lemaisa blabs with a suffix, and Tosfos says that it could be that even writing the Sirtut after the Ksav will be enough to Machshir the Sefer. Okay, we'll come back to that. Let's just briefly, concisely go through the second Mahalach that Tosfos brings down over here, which is the approach of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbi Natam holds that there's two distinct, separate halachas in the din of Sirtut. One din is the din to mesaratate every single line, to etch in a whole series of lines and to write all the script and all the lines in accordance with the Sirtut on each line. That din, Me'ikr ha-halacha, says Rabbi Natam that's found by Mezuzah, and also Megillas Esther, because the Gemara and Megillah has a drasha for it. So, Mezuzah, the Gemara has a Nochas Lamed Beis, halacha v'shem Sinai, that Mezuzah has to have Sirtut, and that's the real Sirtut, the Sirtut of every single line. Rabbi Natam holds, however, that there's another independent halacha of Sirtut, which is the Sirtut that's in the Gemara in Gittin Davav, which is that any kind of writing of any Kisvei Kodesh has to have Sirtut, and there it only means to circumscribe the writing, the block of writing that you're doing with an etching on all the four sides, on the Arba Peis. That's it. Just etchings, lines that circumscribe the entire writing, not individual lines for each and not individual etchings for each and every one of the lines. I mean, in Tam says that that's true about any time you write Kisvei Kodesh like the Gemara talks about in Masech Gittin, but he says it's also, in his opinion, true about Sifik Torah. But in time, Shita is not like Rashi. Rashi holds that Sifik Torah, they have to assert it on every single line, the Din Gomer of Seitut. And Tam argues, and he says that really, the Sifrei Torah only have to have the etchings of the, the circumscribed etchings of the Seitut around on the four sides, and the idea of etching a Sifrei Torah in every line, which Asfarim all have, by the way, they all have etchings on every line, and in time, Shita is that that's not Meikra Adin, it's only Al Zekhele Vanveh to beautify it. Of course, when you have the etchings and you write according to the etchings, they end up much nicer and much neater. So Al Zekhele Vanveh, that's why there's a concept of having all the individual etchings or the individual lines by Sefer Torah. But Tam Shita is, though, that a Sefer Torah really be'etzim would not need to have in the etchings on the all individual lines. The Sirtut that a Sefer Torah has to have is only the more general Sirtut of having the circumscribed etchings going around on all the four sides. Tam Fiyazoi is a curious thing that he says that even though we find that by Zekhele Vanveh, by Sefer Torah, there's a din to beautify the Sefer Torah, so at least Al Zekhele Vanveh, I do have individual etchings at every line. But as the Tefillin, they wouldn't be of an Indian even Al Zekhele Vanveh to do it at all. All we have are the circumscribed etchings around by the Tefillin and no individual etchings in between the lines at all, because Zokter, since the Tefillin are not visible, because you never take out the Tefillin, you never open them up, so therefore, consequently, since the Tefillin never become visible, there's no Indian even Al Tzid the Mitzvah of Zekhele Vanveh, and that's why Be'etzim Zotter Ben Tam, Chazal held that a person should not do those etchings in the individual lines of the Tefillin, because, like the Yerushalmi tells us, Kolapotum and Adavar, Toiseihu, Nikro Hedioi, there's almost no Indian in it. There's not an Indian, there's no Kelim Avela in such a thing, which won't be visible at all. And therefore, consequently, there's no Indian. If there's no Indian, then you shouldn't do it, because Potter, the other say, if you just Potter and has no purpose, purposelessly, you just do it, that's Nikro Hedioi, it's called a Hedioi person. That's why, Zotter Ben Tam, the Gemara actually felt that a person shouldn't have these etchings on his Tefillin. And that explains out the way the Gemara discusses in Masechta Menachos, what's the din if a person would want to take from the Tefillin, from the parashah that's in his Tefillin, and turn it into a mezuzah? Could you do that? Could you convert your parashah that's in the Tefillin, the Shema and Vahoya, could convert it into a mezuzah? Could you do that? The Gemara Lamaisa comes out of Maila B'Kodesh Shema Reading, because Tefillin is more Kodesh, so therefore the Maskonas of Gemara is that you can't convert from Tefillin into mezuzah. If the Gemara does have a Hava Amina, as Okter, the Gemara in the Masechta Menachos, then maybe you could take the Sefer Torah, the Tefillin, the parashah of the Tefillin, and convert them into mezuzah. And the Gemara asks a kasha on there, the Masechta Menachos. So the Gemara asks a kasha, for the Gemara of Tefillin don't need Sirtut, and mezuzah does need Sirtut, halacha mash mesinai. Mezuzah has to have Sirtut. So therefore, how could you convert it? But look, the Tefillin doesn't have the Sirtut, and the mezuzah doesn't have the Sirtut. So mezuzah needs Sirtut, and you wrote it originally for Tefillin, you wrote it without Sirtut. So that's why the Gemara has a kasha. The Gemara comes out, there's one mandoma, holds you have to both have Sirtut. So Mela, we're going like that mandoma. But upon him, zok the and so the Gemara Grata comes out, there's a man to Omar that both Tefillin and Mezuzah don't have to have Sirtut, and that was the half a minute was to convert the Tefillin into the Mezuzah. But upon him, Zok the Rabbeinu Tam, what was the Gemara's whole big kasha? Maybe the person Al Zekhele Vanveh went ahead, he didn't need to write the individual lines of Sirtut, Mesartut, the individual lines of the Tefillin. He did it anyway. Zekhele Vanveh wanted to exceptionally beautify the Tefillin, and therefore he was Mesartut the individual lines too. That was the way that it was. That was what he happened to do when he wrote the Tefillin, and that was the half a minute he could convert them to Mezuzah. Is out of in time. Do you see from here what I'm saying? My point that the Tefillin that's supposed to be Masartet. You know, you shouldn't even do it because part of the love of Yisrael, Nikra Hedit, there is no Zekhan Veil because it's concealed. And Mela, consequently, the Gemara was assuming that Tefillin would never have Sirtut on the individual lines, and that was why the Gemara had the Shaila, whether it would ever be Mashkachas declared to consider whether it could convert from the, say, from the Tefillin to the Mezuzah. That's the Arichos and Toises here, Machloikas, Rashi, Ben Tam, and two Drachim, and they argue particularly a big Machloikas, Ben Egeya, to whether Sifrei Torah have to have Sirtut on every line, a Din Gomer of Sirtut, which is Rashi Shita, and Rashi expresses that here, the Halochim and Shesinai, Shasforim, Trichin Sirtut, Mashenkin, according to Ben Tam, it says that's only the minimal Din of Sirtut that Sifrei Torah have, which is this Sirtut around the edges, but the Din Gomer of Sirtut on every line, Ben Tam hold, that Sifrei Torah did not have. I wanted to discuss particularly what the Achroin and what the Forum say, Benegir to what Toisis does in addressing Rashi and the explanation Toisis gives for the Shitas Rashi. So let us begin by offering a bit of an introduction to the concept of Sugya of Sirtut. In the Shuvah's Tashbates, the Tashbates was asked of Shimon ben Tzemach Duran, one of the great 15th century Gedolim. The Tashbates was asked what the Yisrael of the Din Sirtut is, and why is it that by certain cases of Kisvei Kodesh I have to leave etchings of the lines and then write following those etchings. So what's the Yisrael of that Din? So the Tashbates says, and many, many others say this as well, that the yesod of the din sirtut is in order to have the writing come out with a ksav meyushar, a straight line writing. It shouldn't be sloppy, it shouldn't be all crooked or diagonal. You want it to be straight lines, and therefore you etch first and you write according to those lines. Ksav meyushar. The Ritashbit says that actually this is something which stems, and it makes sense, because, for example, we find that the Gemara tells us in Menachos, like we said, that we paskin and don't need sirtut, and mezuzah does need sirtut. So what's the difference between them? So that, well, the difference could be this, that the mezuzah, even though it's usually taka kept shut and closed and not seen, but you have to open them up at least twice in 7 years to inspect it. So the ma'isa is read, you read them. And may lekan, so since you read them, there's a special inyan of ksav miyusher, a special inyan of having a straight line writing, and that's why the mezuzah, halacha machine, does need sirtut. Mashenk and tefillin, which don't have a din to your body, them or chiyot to your body, them regularly. So therefore, the tefillin bets, and once you close them off, that's it. There's no din to open them. They're not read. So they're not read. They don't have the inyan of ksav miyusher, of a straight line writing, and that's why tefillin don't need sirtut. So he explains, in other words, that there's a reason for the din of sirtut, which is he should write in straight, neat lines. He should write neatly. And we find even a ramification that after commitment comes out of that, that the tefillin don't need sirtut because they're not read, and the mezuzah does need sirtut. But the Tashbit closes by saying that even though I gave you this hesber, and it's an interesting hesber, you should know that the din is not going to follow the time. In other words, really, ultimately, it's a din, and it's it's something which does not depend upon whether the exact reason happens to be applicable or not. And he says, because otherwise, if you don't say that, you're not really going to be able to explain, Zokter, why tefillin, which are so tremendously, enormously choshev, we don't care, apparently, about the writing being that straight. There's no din asserted on the tefillin. Masha'en kain, the person writes a little private letter with a few words of Torah, 3 words of Torah, and Hashuris, the halacha is that you have to mesaritate when you write. How could anybody possibly suggest that tefillin is less important to have neat lines than the offhand letter that you wrote, which happened to contain a few words of Torah in the Ksav Hashuris? So, ultimately, Zat HaTash based these dinim halacha Mishra Sinai, they're based upon halacha is dinim that were given over to us, and they don't really depend upon the reasons and upon the time, even though it does have a reason to make the writing look neat. That's the Tash based. Now, we don't find elsewhere the Amar Mekoymus, also very Choshev Amar Mekoymus, that appear to indicate also that the din of Sirtut is based upon having the writing look neat, but also that seem to say there's nafkeminus lahalacha that we could come up with based on that, because since the aside is to have the writing look neat, there could be nafkeminus lahalacha. And this is a big shayla, actually, which runs through the poiskim, and we'll talk a little bit about it as an introduction to the shayla of how to learn up toises that we just said over in our sugya. So let's talk about this a little bit. The Tashbeitz has a tshuva, I'm sorry, the Radvaz. The tshuva is Radvaz has a tshuva. The Radvaz was asked, halacha is that get also has to have sirtut. That's the din. The get is written on the 12 lines, and you masaritate the lines, you write the etchings, and then you follow the etchings when you write the lines of the get. And there was a practice in time of the Tashbeitz that people had come up with. Instead of etching those lines, they simply folded the get, the parchment, to the 12 folds, and then they wrote according to those folds. You know, it does a decent job after all. You know, you're folding it, and then you write it in the folds. So therefore, it's pretty neat. And that was a practice of the Seifim, and somebody answered the Radvaz whether that was an acceptable practice or not. Interestingly enough, the Radvaz answers that it's no good, but he gives a reason. The reason he gives is, he says that this folds are so flimsy and they so readily get obliterated and you don't notice where the crease was, that by the time you finish writing the get, the folds that were there at the beginning are no longer visible. And so that's no good. That's for sure no good. To have a situation in which the so-called sirtut at the end, by the time you got to the site at the end, the sirtut at the beginning already obliterated into oblivion, you know, that it's gone already because the folds and the creases are no longer noticeable, that's for sure not kosher at all. And therefore, he says that's not going to be acceptable. However, Zokta, what happens if I have a very stiff parchment in such a way that the folds are very sharp folds and they're going to last for a while, and therefore those folds are going to be able to remain at least as long as it takes to write the entire get? So there, Zokter advised there will be a perfectly kosher sirtut, because Zokter, what's the whole purpose of sirtut is? Hatam, kadesha tiyaksivo yeshira, that when you're writing it, it should be come out of perfectly straight writing and a neat writing. But ha'iko, Zokter, even though the folds, you're given another 6 hours, another 8 hours, 10 hours, those folds will be gone, even in the stiff parchment. So by then, they're not going to last very long. But Zokter, it's the logic, simple logic tells us that it suffices that the folds only, the sirtut, the creases, only have to be able to last long enough to write the thing in its entirety. because the whole function is teleksivi yeshira, neat writing, and this is going to be the guide that's going to guide you along your writing when you write, and that's all that it needs to be. There's no reason whatsoever why the folds have to last any longer than that, that the creases, the sirutas have to last longer, and in such a case it would be good. It's only if the folds get erased halfway through that that's going to be surely no good. That is the advice. Actually, the advice sheet is brought down, the Pesach Tshuva discusses this, and Yerdei HaRei and Aleph, Pesach Tshuva brings down the advice, and he says that the Pashtus HaTvorim, the simple understanding that the Pesach Tshuva is, that what the advice says about the Sifrei Torah, what about the get, would also likewise be true about Sifrei Torah. Let's say for some reason the fellow folds the parchment of the Sifrei Torah, instead of writing the whole etchings, etching it, he refolds it. So Pesach Tshuva, it appears that the advice is going to be telling us that's good, even though, give it a day, give it 2 days, 3 days, the folds will be obliterated. They don't have to last la'olam, because Svora tells us that lasting as long as it took to write it will be sufficient to fulfill the Asayid HaDin of the Sirtu, which is to make the writing look neat. So advance, in other words, is going what? He's saying that the Tam of Sirtu has a nafgamina lehalacha. The Tam is to make the writing look neat, and therefore it's not necessary for the Sirtu to last longer than the writing is fully written. It looks neat, and now it's okay if the Sirtu will vanish. This actually is whole tumult. The reality is that there are Rishonim that say fakir from this, Mamash Rishonim that hold that they, without explaining it, they say that the Sirtut has to be Kayim La'olam. There's a whole clear about this in the Erzarua and in the Mordechai, the being that of Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbeinu Simcha said, quoted in the Erzarua and the Mordechai, that Rabbeinu Simcha cleared this Shailam. He cleared this question, if the Sirtut has to be etched with a stylus and well etched into it in such manner that it's never going to vanish and never got obliterated, or could it be something which is just kind of a very flimsy sort of a Sirtut, which is just going to not last for very long. That was a Shailam that was discussed by the Rabbeinu Simcha, and they both bring Rabbeinu Simcha was masik lefiha emes. He brought a raya from medrash, the way he understood the medrash, that sirtut is something which has to last forever. Bikayim la'olam. That's the maskana of the Rabbeinu Simcha, brought in the Mordechai, brought in the Arizaruah against his radvaz. And be'etzem, you know, the simple logic of sirtut won't yield this conclusion. It's not going to yield it. Why would it have to be necessary for a sirtut to last la'olam if the function of sirtut is just to make the writing neat? That should be sufficient that it was there when you wrote. So again, we have this other mahalach that holds that it don't tie down the dine sirtut to the particular svar of making the writing look neat, and Takav in the Simcha brought in some Rishonim held that the sirtut has to be kayom la'olam. Let's go now with this to the safek of Tosis over here that we said over before, and we'll discuss two mahalchim that we find in the Heintiges forum to discuss what the safek, the aside, the fundamental principle that underlies the safek of Tosis is all about. Tosis over here discusses the case of the Megillah Saita, which the din is that you have to have sirtut, like it says here, the way Rashi derives from the Gemara. Writing a geris is no good because there's no sirtut. So Tosis clears an incredible question. Tosis Shaila is, maybe if you wrote the Megillah Saita without any sirtut, and subsequently added the sirtut in later after you wrote it, right? Maybe it's going to be kosher. And Tosfos blives by a shaila, blives by a suffix, leaves it with a suffix on this question. Now, the Sefer Derech HaMelech has a siman in Siman Yud. He discusses these in Yonim of Sirtut, and he writes, the Pashtus, it appears to him, that the underlies this question of Tosfos is this basic Hakira Zokte about whether the din sirtut is toloy, it depends upon the logic of what sirtut is meant to achieve, or it's just a din which has nothing to do, not dependent upon the logic of making it look neat. If I go Zokte, that you said it in a sirtut is to make it look neat, then Tosfos is sad to say that there should be kosher to add the sirtut after you wrote it is completely incomprehensible and makes no sense, because the whole function of sirtut to make it look neat is not going to look neat because you added sirtut in later on after you already wrote it. Surely not. So therefore, that's poshut zokter, that according to that sad, that was Tosfos sad zokter, that would not be kosher to add the sirtut later, is because he's going with the logic of the din sirtut, and a meila, the sirtut is to make the writing look neat, so of course it has to precede the writing. And the other side of Tosfos, he wants to say, is that Tosfos is held like what seems to be the other side of the poskim, that some hold the sirtut is just a din, it doesn't depend upon its reason. And Mele, he wants to argue that if that's the case, this is where he names on, that Tosfos understood that it does not make a difference whether the sirtut will precede the ksav or succeed the ksav, whether it was written before or after the ksav. Either way, Lemais has safkal safam, ending up with a sefer. The sefer has ksav and has a sirtut. And Mele, that will be sufficient to machshir the ksav, even if it wasn't b'shaito when he wrote it, it didn't have sirtut. It has it now, or the Mele is a kosher sefer as of the present time, and it will be good. That's obviously a little chiddush, we'll talk about that, but he learns that is the suffix of the Tosis, depending on, in other words, whether I determine Dine Sirta based upon the Svara of making Ksav Miyushar, and if that's what it is, he surely can't add it later, or is it the Din Sirta, independent Din, in which case Tosis held, he says, that you could add it later. This is one Mahalach. Now, I want to say another Mahalach, however, from Gustman in the Kuntra Se Shiurim, we explain some Yesoidais to explain a certain dinim in the Hilchoi Sirta that we're discussing. Rav Gustman opens his discussion by saying that Be'emes, we need to understand, to misboin it, to think very carefully into the Yesoid that Tosis says in the beginning of Tosis over here that we spoke of, to explain the Das Rashi. Tosis says that really there's two sugyas of Sirtut. One of them is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Vav that says that if I write any three words, even on a friendly letter, I write three words of Torah and the Ksav Ashuris, and automatically I have to masaratate them. That's nothing to do with Sforim, that's the din of writing any Torah. You write three words of Torah, and you have to write with a sirtut, an etching. There's another din that our Rashi speaks of over here in our Gemara, that every sefer halacha meshvesina, that a sefer has to have sirtut. What's that special second din? The Tosis explains in the Das Rashi that second halacha is a din paslos. In other words, out the din in Masechta Gittin, I would have just said he did an esor, it was usur to write divrei Torah without being masarat at first. But I wouldn't see from there any concept of passeling any sefer that it was a failure to have sirtut in it. That's why I have a special din over here, the halacha v'sina, that Sforim must have a sirtut, and if not, the sefer is pasul, and that's the second yesoid, if sirtut, that Rashi found in our sugya. That's what Tosis says. The Zogt of Gusman, what are these two halachas of sirtut? One that applies to all kisvei kodesh and is negated to an isor, and the other, as a din in Sforim, and as a get to pasling the Sforim. If Gusman says that he holds that what Tosis really means to bring out of it here is a lomdish of hashtan, that there's two completely different yesoidos in sirtut. One of them, Zokter, is a sirtut in the maisek siva, and the other is a sirtut in the din sefer. A sirtut in the maisek siva, and a sirtut in the din sefer. There's one halacha in the activity of writing. How are you supposed to be writing divrei Torah? You're supposed to write them in a choshev way, in a way that makes them neat. I write them in a way that has an etching first, a masaratate, and then you write the ksav based upon the sirta. That's a din in the maisak siva, how I'm supposed to go about writing divrei Torah. If it's a din in the maisak siva, Zokter, so well, that's the way you're supposed to do it. But if you didn't do it, you got an isur, there's no reason to apostle anything. You're just over an isur. It's an isur rev and a pasla, Zokter. You are supposed to write the din is, you have to write divrei Torah in a particular manner that makes them neat with a sirta. If you fail to do so, you're over an isur. That's the din of Masech the Gittin, got nothing to do with a sirta. What Rashi is finding over here, Zokter of Gusman, is that there's an independent second halacha of a sirtut to what the tzura of a sefer in the Sifrei Kodesh has to be. A sefer of the Sifrei Kodesh has to be that it has to be the words have etchings. That's the tzura of the sefer. The words are written against the lines which are etched into it. Vantin is a din pasul because it's a tznai in the sefer. So din Torah is that if you have a sefer with Kisvei Kodesh, the sefer is only has a Shem sefer. It's only a kosher sefer if it has sirtut, that the kisvim are written with a sirtut. It's without a sirtut, it doesn't have a din sefer. That's a din pasul of El Gemara. The zin in Masech, the kitten is one halacha in the act of ksivas, divrei kodesh, a divrei Torah. It has to be the act to be done with a sirtut. And the halacha over here is a din in the tzura of the sefer. The sefer has to have a sirtut. If not, it's not a sefer, and it's a pasul of sefer. And likewise, the Megillah Sefer is a Megillah Sefer, which is also called a sefer, is pasul without the ksiva. That's what the Rav Gusman says. He says, with that, you understand a little bit what Tosis is clearing in the next line. Tosis declares that maybe if you wrote a Megillah Sota and you put the sirtut in after the writing, maybe it's going to be kosher. Zoktav dem Rav Gusman, the Hezbrad form is like this. Be'emes, out the din that was discussed in Masech the Gittin, that the writing, the Maisa Ksiva, has to be written in a oifen of a neatness because I was Masartat and I wrote the din of the Maisa Ksiva. Tashtesach, you were over on that if you wrote the Megillah Sota first and you wrote these and then afterwards you etched it. You know, you didn't fulfill the Ksiva, the sirtut in the writing, that's for sure. And in Mele, that thing wasn't fulfilled. If you write Kisvei Kodesh, any psukim, you write without Masaratin, you're over on the din of writing it. But our Gemara is discussing the din Paslos, which is the din of the din Sefer. That's not a halacha. That halacha is not fundamentally premised on how I'm supposed to be writing it. That halacha is built on what the Sefer should look like. The Tzuras HaSefer ought to be that all the lines of writing are lined up against the Sirtut. If that's what it is, the Tosis held that it could be that it's not necessary to fulfill the din kashrus of the sefer. Not necessary to have had the sirtut first before the ksav. As long as the tzura of the sefer is, it has ksav and it has sirtut, even a sirtut without
later, it's enough to make the cheftza of the sefer into a kosher sefer because it's a sefer with sirtut. Even though the writing was done without sirtut, and consequently there was an issur, it was under the writing, but afal became the sefer, al tilcha sefer would be kosher, and this place is clear to say that I can machshir the sefer, the sveta, the machshir the sefer will become a sefer kosher if I add the sirtut in later. Of course, Dr. Guzman, that for is not mochach, but it could be that the din kasha to the sefer has to be chal b'shas to ksiva. B'shas, and I wrote the sefer, when I did the ksiva, that's when it has to be chal at that point, a chaloyz din sefer, not that it should be able to be chal me'elov by itself later on. So therefore, it could be that tzad of tois is to say that if you weren't masartit before, you were koy save, so at the time of the ksiva was written without a sirtut, so the sefer is chal l'shem sefer apostle, because it has the sefer had that ksad that was written without a sirtut. Adding the sirtut later, perhaps, won't take a sefer posel and change it over that it should baitzach, that it should change and turn into a sefer kosher. And those are the tzadim of toises, a shail of how to learn up the sveta din, a sirtut, the din that's a tnai in the hilcha sefer. That's of Guzman's explanation of the Rashi and the suffix of toises. And here, we ought to say over, dancing with this similar type of rei, this similar shaila. Again, this two understandings of sirtut. A sirtut in the maisek siva, or a sirtut is as a tnai in the kasher. To the sefer, this question is discussed in a somewhat different way by the Briskerov and the Sefer and Rambam in his discussion of understanding the Rambam's Loshain in Perek Beis of Hilchas Megillah. The Rambam over there discusses how you have to write a Megillah, and you know that the Gemara tells us in Megillah that the Megillah has various forms similar to a Sefer Torah. So the Rambam's Loshain in Perek Beis of Hilchas Megillah is Ein Koyfen HaMegillah Ela Bidyoy Ela Gvila Ela Klaf Kesefer Torah. Okay, so that's the first part of the Rambam, that you have to write a Megillah with ink, with dyoi, and you have to write it on types of parchment, just like a Sefer Torah. Okay, part one. So those are halachas that are comparable to Sefer Torah, with dyoi, and on a cloth, and etc. Ooh, the Rambam adds later on, utzricho sirtut ke toira atzmo. It has to be written against an etching, right? You write, you etch the lines out, and then you write it, utzricho sirtut ke toira atzmo. Frekta briskerov, what's the hezbro of the chilof halosh, and the different lashonis that Rambam utilizes over here, in the first part of the Rambam to the second part of the Rambam. When he's discussing the halacha that the Megillah has to have gevil, has to have parchment, and it has to have dioy written with a special ink. So there the Rambam says that that's because it's a sefer Torah. It's like a sefer Torah. That's the lashon of the Rambam there. Masha'in came later on, the Rambam discusses that it has to have a sirtut, an etching, so then the Rambam does not say sefer Torah, he says Torah atzmo. He doesn't even call it that it should be comparable to a din of a sefer Torah. He says it's like Torah atzmo. That's the Briskerov. So frek the Briskerov, what's the difference? Why is one of them a din gvil and the dyoy? That's a din in sefer Torah, whereas sirtut is referred to around with a whole different lashon. That's a din ketoyra atzma. Of them, that the Briskerov mamish with this chakira, that the same that Rav Guzman spoke of before, and the Briskerov said that the hezber is that the Rambam understood that the din that you have to write with use dyoy and you have to write on klaf and or gvil, those halachas are the din in shafing the cheftza of the sefer. If I want to create an entity that it should be called a sefer, which a Megillah has to be called a sefer. So then it has to have certain component parts. It has to have dioy and it has to have klaf and etc. etc. But sirtut zok the Briskerov that the Rambam understood is not a tnai in the sefer. Interestingly, although Rav Guzman named on in Rashi, that Rashi understood that actually sirtut is a tnai in the sefer, like we said before, and that's how we understood Tosfos Sufik in the Rashi. Briskerov is medayik from Rambam that the Rambam understood sirtut is not a din in the tnai in the hilchoy sefer. Rather, it's a din on how you have to write divrei Torah. That's what the Rambam is saying, that when you write the Megillah, tzricha sirtut ketoira atzmo, not like a sefer Torah, but like a Torah atzmo, because that's how you have to write a Torah, the right words of Torah. Writing the words of the Megillah is like writing the words of the Torah, and the din in the ma'isek siva of the Megillah, just like the ma'isek siva of any Torah zokter is tzricha sirtut ketoira atzmo, like the words of Torah.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.